Let's turn to the scriptures then and to Psalm 111. Psalm 111, the psalm we used for a call to worship this morning. We're going to read the entire psalm. As you know, or many of you know, that it's a partner psalm to the psalm right after it. Both of them are what are called acrostic psalms, that the lines of every verse and every strophe, every line that you see there starts with another letter of the Hebrew alphabet, no doubt to help with the memorization of this psalm and the memorable praise that the Lord deserves. But we're going to be looking at Psalm 111 then, all 10 verses. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. In the company of the upright in the congregation, great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. We thank the Lord for his word. The congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the things that is especially delightful about holidays, like Thanksgiving, is that it's a special day for us. It's out of the routine. Special in the sense that way that there's a break that comes to us out of the ordinary. Special in the sense that we can spend time perhaps with family and friends in ways that we might otherwise not be able to do. Certainly not on a Thursday. Certainly not in the middle of a Thursday. Now, routine can be a real blessing, and we never want to underestimate that. But when something special comes around, we can take delight in that as well. The worship of the covenant God in Jesus Christ in Thanksgiving is a special time for God's people. It's a special time for believers. And it's not just, of course, on Thanksgiving Day. We know that. That's just true in general. But it's a special kind of thanks that we're able to give then, because of how we worship, with whom we worship, and to whom we worship. God, who is special, holy, and awesome, is his name. As I mentioned, we've been thinking a lot lately about the various facets of Thanksgiving in the Christian life. And we're focusing today on thankful worship. If it's going to be a day of Thanksgiving for us, well, then it's fitting for us to include this facet of thanks, the worship of the God who gives and gives and gives again. Giving thanks and worship to the covenant God who gives to us ultimately in Jesus Christ is a special thing to do. And so let's take a moment this morning to emphasize that giving thanks can be done in a special way through worship, and that because of how and what God gives to us in his covenant mercy in Jesus Christ ultimately. Now, what we mean this morning when we talk about a special kind of thanks or special thanks, it's not that there is We don't mean to say that there isn't anything special about giving charitably in a thankful spirit, or that there isn't anything special about praying in a thankful spirit, or there isn't anything special about living your life in thankfulness, because all of those things fall under that great umbrella of holiness and sacredness, and there is something special about every facet of thanksgiving. We speak of worship as a special kind of thanks, not so much in contrast to other kinds of thanks, but in distinction to those acts. And we focus on how we're to worship thankfully and with whom we're to worship thankfully as we remember who we come to worship. And when we do that, we recognize that there is something very special about worshiping and to worship in a thankful spirit to the holy and awesome God that He is in Jesus Christ. Well, we hear of how we're to worship thankfully at the very beginning of this psalm. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. When we hear in this message in faith how we're to worship thankfully, our hearts are directed to what makes worship, that kind of worship, special. And the most obvious indicator of that is that we're to do so obediently. Praise the Lord. And that's the most basic calling of thankful worship. We're called to worship. We don't come to worship to do God a favor. We are not to check our schedule to see if we can work God into it somehow to our convenience. We hear the call to worship and we obey it. Now, all should come to worship, but not all do, but all should, because God is worthy of this praise from all. He's sovereign, and He has every right to command His praise from all. And nobody else has the right to do that. Nobody else has the right to demand that. Nobody else has the right to call people to thankful worship of him or her. See, and that's partly what makes the worship of God special. It's that no one else has the right to command it. Do you hear the call to worship as a suggestion? As a tradition? As an option? Or as a command? So how we worship is to be in an obedient manner, but how to worship thankfully goes beyond this. Because the psalmist says to us, we are to worship thankfully with our whole hearts. And there's four conclusions that we can draw from that truth. Here's one. One is that we are to worship sincerely. We're to worship sincerely. Sincere worship is a recognition that God has given unto us something worthy of response, something worthy of His praise. Now, it should include our very existence, but also those very things of which the psalmist will speak of later in the psalm and how he gave and how he gives those things to us. Praise is a response. It's a response of obedience, but not so much a compelled response, but a sincere one from somebody who knows God not only is sovereign, but remarkably merciful. The sincere, thankful, worshiping person knows the grace of God. He's responding to that. She's responding to that. The wonders of a new heart. The wonders of a new life. the wonders of a special kind of hope firmly ingrained in their heart, not a wish, but a certainty. Such special gifts move us to a special praise, a sincere one, a thankful one, where we're not here merely to make others happy. We come here because that way we get somebody off our back. Maybe we get the elders off our back. Maybe we get our parents off our back. Maybe we get our friends off our back, or somebody. No, we're not here in that sense merely to make others happy, but because God made us happy. Because we know that He's done great things for us, for which we are glad. Now, others may have given to us, but not like God in Christ. Others may have given, but nobody else deserves your worship. Thankful worship is sincere worship with a whole heart. Second thing, if it's with a whole heart, it's an undivided worship, which means nobody else gets that time. It's a special time for a special person, and that's who God is in Jesus Christ. We're called to be dependable to our boss. We are called to be faithful to our spouse. We are to be honoring of our parents, but we are not called to worship any of them, although we could be tempted to. But that act of worship belongs exclusively to God, because God's unique and He does unique things for us in Christ. Now, we might give thanks to our parents. You may do that today. Boys and girls, I hope you do. You can give thanks to them. And you can even say to them, I always want to be better at that and I'm not as good as I ought to be. But to say to them, I thank the Lord for you, Mom and Dad. You can do that. You can give thanks to your parents. You can give thanks to your teachers. You can give thanks to your bosses or to other people. But not with the undivided heart of thankful worship. Only the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ deserves that. So that's another thing we could keep in mind. A third thing we can keep in mind is worshiping thankfully with a whole heart also reminds us, or it teaches us, that we're to be devoted in our worship. Our worship, in other words, is going to be a priority for us in a special kind of way. We might say that business comes before pleasure, or that our children come before our jobs, or that our spouses come before our children. But we also have to say that the worship of the Lord, to whom we're devoted most of all, is to be on the top of the list. And that spirit needs to lead our attitude towards worship and our approach to worship. Because if worship's not a priority, then something else is. That's not hard to figure out, is it? If worship isn't a priority, something else has taken that special place in our lives. Thankful praise is special, and it needs to be our priority. And fourthly, we're also to worship proudly if we're going to worship with our whole hearts. We don't hold anything back. We don't hold anything back. We give it all our skill, all our zeal, all our strength, all our love, stemming from a heart of appreciation for what the Lord has done. And we're not going to be ashamed to worship. What will they say about me if I praise God with a joyful noise? I think I'll just kind of sit here and praise like this. I don't want anybody to hear me. I don't sound as good as Pavarotti over there. Or maybe they're going to think I'm some kind of religious fanatic if my voice could be heard, especially if I'm not that good at singing, or even if I am. But God doesn't ask the thankful worshiper if he has the right kind of voice. He's looking for the right kind of heart. He's looking for a heart that supplies all that a person has for the sake of God, who's loved him so much that he gave his son for him, and he's promised to graciously give everything else. I'll give my attention. I'll give my gifts. I'll give my prayers. I'll give my singing. I'll give my profession of faith. I will give what I have in praise to God, unashamedly and proudly, for what he's done and done for me. Now, worship's also a special act because it's not done alone. It's not done alone. It's not relegated to private praise. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. God is calling us to public and to corporate praise. Now, do people gather together for other occasions? Of course they do. They get together for family reunions. They get together for parties. They get together for conventions. They get together for sporting events. They get together for concerts. And other people who aren't even Christians will get together for other kind of religious festivals. But what makes the public worship of God in Christ special is that, unlike all other gatherings, this is a gathering of thanks for what only God can do for someone. And it's so wonderful that the thankful person isn't content to praise under his pillow, to praise privately. He wants to praise publicly for God to hear and for others to hear. You cannot and you do not want to keep a lid on a thankful heart. You don't want to do so. So what happens is that the thankful praise of God and his Christ not only become a public event, it becomes a corporate event. You're in the company of the congregation, because other thankful people are in the same thankful boat, and it's not a dinghy, and it's not a rowboat. It's like an ocean liner. And this then becomes a special gathering. It's not just a gathering of Americans or of women or of stamp collectors. It's a holy gathering. It's a gathering of the upright. Not because they're so necessarily better than other people, but these have known God's giving and grace. They're the ones that are gathering. And they've known it to such an extent that when they hear the call to praise, they come publicly, corporately, with a grateful heart. As those who are members of this church, or whatever church in which you find yourself as a member, that thankful praise is that to which you're called corporately by the elders, under whose spiritual care the Lord has entrusted you, so that you can be faithfully and thankfully praising God, ordinarily in the congregation where you're a member, faithful in your own congregation, as they say. Because that's where you're a member. And that gathering is special. Where a special outpouring of thanksgiving takes place. And when it's done for the sake of God in Jesus Christ, it expresses praise to him. But you know, it cannot help but be a blessing to those who attend, who see that they are not alone as thankful recipients of God's gifts. They are not the only ones who have reason to be thankful. They are not alone spiritually. The bounties that have been given to them is a bounty that he has given to others too. And look around, there they are. There's the signs of that. And seeing that in public and seeing that corporately is another reason to be thankful. Isn't it a wonderful thing, if you think about it, that just by you filling a chair or filling a pew at worship, especially when you're a member of that church, you can be a reason, right where you are, you can be a reason for further thanks to your fellow worshipers. That doesn't take a lot, does it? But it's marvelous. Now, numbers are not everything. We could worship with two or three. But it's not out of bounds to say that the more the merrier can certainly apply. When the more of us come together to worship in thanks to God and not less. Our passage reminds us that we give thanks to the giving Lord for how he gives and what he gives. And we want to dwell on that for just a second. The psalm is what we call, as I mentioned a moment ago, an acrostic psalm. Every letter of the Hebrew alphabet takes a turn in order to start a line and a thought in the passage. And it's probably done for memory, in part, for memorization's purposes, artistic purposes, to be sure. But certainly, it's fitting when you think about the psalm wants us to remember in a thankful way what God has done. Now, the passage most likely was written to commemorate the events from the Exodus to the entering into the Promised Land during the times of the Old Testament, which was a most remarkable feat. But whether it was of that time or any time in redemptive history, the way that the Lord gives and what he gives continues to be reason for giving thanks and praise to God. Thankful praise is special because God's special. All the adjectives and adverbs that are used here in this psalm, as you continue to read through it, they all express how the Lord shows himself to be as special as he is. The verses following the call to worship give reason for praise. Praise to God is never without reason. It's never unreasonable to give praise to God. There's always reason to do that. But you think about the adverbs or the adjectives that are used here. Greatly, great are the works of the Lord. Splendid, majestic, gracious, memorable, merciful, everlastingly, righteously, faithfully, justly, covenantally. You know, we often speak about the incommunicable attributes of God, those we can't imitate. And those communicable attributes, those we can imitate. Now, we can imitate graciousness and faithfulness and righteousness and justice, but even in those attributes that we can imitate God, and we can't replicate God. Holy and awesome is his name. He's special. The ways that the Lord gives are beyond our tracing out, whether we're speaking about his miracles of opening the Red Sea or in the giving of his son to the cross or resurrecting him and promising us new life in Christ. Undeserving though we be, we give thankful praise because the way that God gives to us is so delightful and so marvelous and so merciful and so special that thankful praise is the only thing we can give to God, and at the same time, all that we can give to God. He's the benefactor, we're the beneficiaries. He's the giver, we're the receivers. We're the recipients. He's the one who gives and gives and gives again in miraculous manner, and we alone are the givers of thanks. God gives thanks to no one. He need not, he ought not, but we need to see ourselves as givers of thanks to him. And we will when we have seen how he gives, but also what he gives. The psalmist speaks about three different ways in which God is giving. He talks about the food that he gives in verse 5. And then he speaks about the inheritance that he gives from the nations. That's the second thing that he brings to our attention. which we see in verse 6. And then he speaks to us about the redemption that he sent to his people in verse 9. Food, inheritance, redemption. So when people thought about that in those days back then,
they probably thought about the bread from heaven that came by way of the manna in the desert. The inheritance, the promised land. The redemption, the liberation from Egypt. For all of these things, the call to revere God and give him joyous and thankful praise were so fitting and so wise. Give thanks for what God gave, food, inheritance, redemption. Well, we can do the very same thing. We come together as those who know a greater bread from heaven, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ who satisfies our spiritual hunger. We can still speak about how through Jesus Christ, God provides for us in that shepherding way for our daily bread, for which we can give humble and hearty thanks every day. And we can speak not just of a physical, but a spiritual liberation that we have from the power and the penalty of our sins that the covenant God in his faithfulness to us has supplied for us. And we can speak about an inheritance that will never spoil or fade, kept in heaven for us, as those who don't even just inherit the land, but we inherit the earth as God's people. You see, the covenant God of Psalm 111 hasn't stopped being the God who gives. His righteousness endures forever. His faithfulness endures. His praise, therefore, endures forever. You and I have reason to be a people who respond in kind with a thankful spirit of praise, sincerely, devotedly, undividedly, with our whole heart, publicly and corporately. Now, maybe the sting in your life has been felt in what the Lord has taken away in your life, or what he's taking away, what he's removing from your life. And we all experience that element in our lives in one way or another. And yet it is what the Lord continues to give in surpassing grace. Even in those times when we feel like we're losing, that helps us to understand why the Lord calls us to praise him with reverent fear and with wholehearted thanksgiving. That's a praise that's special, devoted only to God. But then the covenant God in Jesus Christ is someone special, holy, and awesome is his name. May we always be ready to give him thanks with our whole heart for all his good gifts to us in Jesus Christ. Amen.